Hello and welcome into Two Honest Black Girls. I'm Bria Simone.
And I am Ambry Shante.
And we are here today to talk to you, baby. Okay, I'm done. How are you this weekend?
I'm good. You know, it's a blur. Same kind of like medium pandemic blur.
Infinite purgatory, if you will.
Yeah, something like that. Dante's Inferno. Like, you see other people having fun, you're like, why don't I get to go to day parties? Why can't I hang out?
And then in my head, I do the calculations of like the likelihood they have contracted COVID from being out, and I'm like, yeah, I like my house. I'm gonna be inside.
I will say I am COVID free, and I've had my closest call last month, so I'm just thankful.
What was last month?
Remember when our other friend had COVID and then I was like hanging with the other two right after that?
Yes, that was a close call. It was a close call. I don't know why my mind just went straight to Easy Call. What's that artist's name that we like? Eric Bellinger. I was like, that's the Easy Call.
Oh, girl. Like, I don't know where your mind went.
You're not in here? You can't hear it? Okay, cool.
Ooh, but that is one of my favorite songs of his, yes.
So, I know, catching COVID is like the biggest concern. Though, because I'm gonna go home, see my mama. They finally have cleared me to go home. I guess my mom is like, well, if I see the seventh graders every day, I can see my own child now.
That's good. I'm glad your family came around. Because, you know, my mama is reckless. She didn't care the whole time. She was making me nervous. I don't trust her. I think she had that shit.
Yes. My parents were very scared for me to contract it traveling. And, of course, bringing it, all the above. So I'm excited and relieved that, you know, I'll just do my best to be safe on this long flight, and that's all I can do because I'm ready to see my family.
Are you going to go back for the holidays right after, or are you going to stay for Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, probably not. Christmas is a little bit different energy because Nana is a Christmas baby, so I do try and make it home on Christmas, but, you know, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, well, I hope that you get to make it home for both. But speaking of seeing family, that is exactly what we are going to be talking about today. Our favorite people. Well, our favorite people. I don't know if they're your favorite people.
Wow. That's very true. Very, very true.
Yeah, I started to make a general statement, like, everybody's favorite people. And I was like, oh, shit, some of y'all don't fuck with y'all family like that.
But not over here.
Yeah, I don't mess with everybody like that, but for sure, my immediate, I do fuck with them. I fuck with them hard.
You know, in true, I feel like, Black family fashion, I really bang hair with my mom's side, my dad's side, but, you know, that's okay. We still love them. You know, it's just, you know, how it goes.
It's different. It can definitely be different. Since you love your mom's side so much, what do you enjoy most about them?
I just feel like they are such caring and warm people, and I feel like that's something that I try to bring to every aspect of my life, whether that be at work or in friendships. I sometimes lack in romantic relationships the warm ooey gooeys, but I feel like I've always just been shown kindness and self-sacrificing for those you love and going above and beyond and being a gentle and caring person. And I think that those are some of the core things that have developed me that I really try and bring to the world. How about you?
Well, let me see. We are very just open with each other, and we talk all day, every day about any and everything. I'm a sucker for some good, genuine conversation. I'm a sucker for some good, genuine conversation that is not small talk or just covering the surface. And even though I've known my mom and my granny and all of them my whole life, I feel like I'm always learning about them through these conversations. Even the other day, me, my mom, and my aunt were talking about sex, and then both of them were like, I don't need that fellatio. You be doing all that fellatio because you don't know how to work it. I was like, what? What is going on? I did not know that both of y'all were not tripping off of getting head, because what? That's very important to me. Which I didn't share with them what was important to me, because I don't want them in my business like that. But if they want to share theirs, by all means.
It's really nice when you get to the age where you can like tell your parents, stay out of grown folks' business without saying that. It feels really liberating. It's really great.
Yeah. So I just love that openness. And I think that sometimes people are shocked at some of the things that I say. But if you have ever met my mom or my aunt, then you're like, oh, this apple didn't fall far from the tree at all.
Yes. Aunt Moni and Mama Shamika definitely are honest. Very honest.
And what else? They're just sweet and fun. We like to dance. I love dancing. I share that with y'all. I share that with strangers.
That's true. That's really true.
So it's the party vibes. Like, I get it from them. It's always a party.
Always down for a good time, man. I love it. What traditions are you looking to pass down to your kids?
For sure, the seafood Christmas. Seafood Christmas was something I came up with because when I was younger, I used to be basic and I used to want to go to Red Lobster on every birthday. Mm-hmm. And Aunt Moni, she go through these phases where she's like vegetarian or pescatarian and all these little phases she goes through. And she complained that we were eating Thanksgiving food again on Christmas. And I was like, we should just do seafood. Like, everybody loves crab legs. Like, let's get the shrimp going, baked potatoes, corn, gumbo, let's do it. And so it became a tradition. And then eventually, I guess me and my mom leveled up and they allowed us to host Christmas at our house in Texas. So I can't wait to share that with my kids, because I did not want to repeat a Thanksgiving. Like, we just had all this Thanksgiving food. Y'all been eating on these leftovers for an entire week. I don't want to repeat. Run something new.
That's valid. I think for us, you know, once it gets slightly cold, families from Louisiana always go straight to the gumbo. So I do get gumbo at Thanksgiving and Christmas. But also feel like Christmas, we do eggnog from scratch. And like, it's like a rite of passage that you learn how to make the eggnog. So I do love that.
Are y'all doing the most?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know how I feel about Christmas. Like, excuse me, future husband, if you're listening, birthday and Christmas gotta go up. And then I guess this other tradition my mom really enforced for us was Christmas. She would wake up at like 4 a.m. and lay out all these presents, not just like under the tree. Like, she would leave some of our clothes exposed in like matching outfits, and like the gift that we really wanted exposed with the bow, and like the stocking stuffers are filled. And it just was always so magical on Christmas for me as a kid. So I really hope to give my kid that, because I think that it helps with like some of the cynicism around the holidays. Because even though we had really nice gifts and everything was laid out really extravagantly, we always still had the tradition of waking up and reading like the biblical story of Christ's birth and then going downstairs and doing that. And it just, I don't know, it just felt so wholesome and pure, and I would love to give my kids that same like magical, wholesome, pure experience.
I feel you though on your eggnog and your Christmas. Another thing that me and my granny would do, we would make homemade candy and cookies, and then we would go drop them off Christmas morning to the family that stayed nearby. So hopefully I have some little ones, or somebody has some little ones for us to continue that with. And outside of holidays, going fishing with my grandpa and we all go on the boat. I'm not even gonna tell my snake story. I was gonna tell another snake story, but that's okay, because everybody already knows that I don't like snakes. But
I almost sent you the breakdown of like how you know a snake is dangerous. I saw it on Twitter and I was like, this is what she needs.
I don't need that information because I'm just going to kill it or run. I don't need no information. Anyways, other than that, the fishing, I like to fellowship with my family and just do great pastimes like that, or going to Arkansas to see where the matriarch was born and getting together with my family. I do enjoy those moments with my extended family. Like, even if I don't see you often, that fish fry in Arkansas, I can't wait till we do it again. Because I missed you and I want to hear about everything that happened since the last time I saw you.
I definitely love spending time with my family, whether it's a family reunion or just us getting together for someone's birthday. It's just so great to spend that time. It's really important to me. And I think that one of the biggest traditions I want to pass on to my kids is valuing those experiences. Because I think, you know, in today's society, some people really don't value it. And rightfully so. They might be in like some toxic family situations and need to have space from their family. But I really do feel blessed and fortunate enough that my family is human, so they make mistakes, but I adore them and I really hope my kids adore them too.
Yeah, it can be really challenging to go back into a family environment that's toxic on days that are supposed to be fun. Like, if y'all suck, I don't really want to see you on Thanksgiving and Christmas, because those days are supposed to be jolly and holly, so I don't want to spend them with you. And if you can't get to a space where you can create those boundaries with those people, I definitely see why they don't feel positively towards them. So how do you create healthy boundaries with your family?
I think like any Black family, my family when I was younger was quick to hit me with the, that's disrespect. But to give them their due credit, I mean, young Bria was not good at phrasing her needs and boundaries in a respectful manner. So with age and space and grace, I've learned how to communicate my needs well, in a more effective way. And I hope the same could be said for them. I think that they listen better now because I am able to deliver the message in a adult way. So I think how you formulate your boundaries is really important, in doing it in a constructive way and not when you're in the heat of the moment and upset is really important to it being received the right way.
And so I just kind of take that into all relationships now. Like, I want to talk about it before the situation even happens. Like, let me set my boundary before it's crossed, because now I'm having to deal with your emotions and then kind of feel like I have to defend myself, versus if we already know what the boundary is, then we both know that it was violated because we were both informed. Similarly, when I was younger, it would just always come from a place of like someone yelling at me or talking to me in a way that I felt like didn't need to be done. I'm like, don't talk to me like that. Or I would just be very nonchalant and dry, which would piss my mom off even more. Like, you're in trouble and you act like you don't care. You're telling me not to talk to you this way. So as I've gotten older, I try to just let my parents have their moment. And then once the dust settles, I'm just very direct, clear, and concise. Like, hey, you know that time when you did X, Y, and Z? That didn't make me feel good. And in the future, I would appreciate if you didn't do that. And if you would like to express some dissatisfaction with me, could we do that in a way that doesn't make either of us feel disrespected or bad about themselves?
Guys, if you're listening and you're trying to figure out how to let your families know your boundaries, do it in your quiet moments, because when you're operating from excitement or emotion, no one is going to hear you. They're only going to see that excitement and emotion.
And just in general, I don't think anybody communicates well in emotional settings. Like, I usually don't be emotional enough, so the other party is just like, this bitch don't give a fuck about what I'm talking about, she being disrespectful. So it's just really, it can be really challenging. But if you have somebody that's willing to work with you, I think it can be done.
Definitely. And sometimes healthy boundaries means walking away from the relationship, even if it is family. So if you guys are in that position that we previously talked about, feel free to find your own versions of family. Just because we enjoy our family units does not mean you have to enjoy yours.
And friends can definitely be family. I consider a lot of my friends my family.
Definitely. So what does your ideal family unit look like? What are you taking from what your parents did? What are you leaving?
Me and my mom have a very great relationship, and it could be that we just really like each other and we're soulmates, or it could be that she was a young mom, so we grew up together. But when I am a mom, if I am a mom, I really do want to have the parental relationship, but also the friendship to where you trust me. When something's gone wrong, when you made a mistake, that you feel comfortable coming to me first. And if I have a partner, I would prefer that my child have a two-parent household, if this child exists, or kids, and that we're supportive and open-minded. The world is changing so fast, and I don't know what kind of kid or partner I might end up with. So I just hope that we're cultivating an environment that makes people comfortable being themselves. I am always talking about authenticity, and I don't ever want my child or my partner to feel like they're consistently having to be fake with me or send their representative. I would be very disappointed in myself if that's the kind of environment I created.
Yes, I love that. That's all really great stuff. I think similarly, the genuineness and authenticity that my parents allowed me to feel. My parents never made me apologize for being me. And I think when I hit about 17 and I started to hit the back talk real strong, they were like, dang, we should have whooped your ass more and not let you talk back so much. Because how did we get
you here? You know what? Yes, I think my mom felt the same way. I didn't get whoopings either. She's like, bitch, I should have busted your ass a couple of times.
And I feel them because I really think, like, even reaching back to when I was like 4 and 5 going to timeout, it was a discussion. It was never like, you just don't do that. There was rationale, there was thought. And I feel like that helped me develop a sense of emotional maturity that I don't know that people who didn't have those kind of environments are able to foster as easily. Yes, I'm sure you can develop them on your own, but being cognizant or aware of why I was doing things and the repercussions was something that I was very familiar with. So when I did get in trouble, my parents were like, sis, we already know you know what's up. So,
right. My mom was not going to have a discussion with me once I was in trouble because, like you said, I know that you know. But so it was very much you a child staying in a child's place. I told you, like, and I never, what she said, like, I ain't gonna ever tell you nothing wrong. Like, whatever I'm telling you is always in your best interest. So just refer back to that information
if you need it. If you need it.
So I think I may be a little more open to a dialogue. But if I'm having too much back and forth, I do understand what they're saying. Like, I'm not gonna have a back and forth with a child. Like, you're a child.
No, I was arguing them down at 5, negotiating bedtimes, to be honest. Like, I, from the gate, was able to vocalize and express my feelings and have dialogue. And of course, you know, at some point they were just like, Bria, we listened, but you're done. So just cut it out. But, girl, you know, I appreciate that. It taught me how to talk. And now I expect that of my partners, and I'm going to expect that of my children, just the same way my parents were like, stop crying, use your words. And I know people's parents say that, but my parents really meant that. Like, communicate what you need from us so we can tell you whether it's a reasonable expectation or not, and why.
Definitely. Or they hit you with that ignore, like, okay, until you're ready to talk, we don't see Ambry. Like, what you mean you don't see me?
I'm right here having this tantrum. No. I appreciate that, though. I feel like, again, it facilitated probably some communication skills within us that, you know, sometimes when I'm electing a partner, I'm not seeing that capability. And I'm like, maybe you just maybe your parents went straight to hitting. Maybe you didn't have a talking household. Maybe that's what's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's scientifically proven that your primary relationships impact your romantic relationships or your relationships with your friends. So you navigate very similarly.
I can see that. My mom definitely added that element of self-sacrifice into me, man. Like, if you want to be a good friend, good partner, good, but it's because she would literally give everything to us kids if she could, you know. And I think that that's something I definitely have to give to my kids, because my mom's love and affection, she was not perfect. I'm not here to lie to you guys and be like, my mom was the perfect mom, but she was pretty damn good. And I would hope to emulate that ability to be there for my kids in whatever ways they need it, in the same way.
Yes, my mom is amazing, and I'm just gonna say that's fact.
Okay, period.
But period. Point blank. Done. But I have seen her overextend herself in some ways, and before I was able to realize that, oh, someone in my life was doing this, so that's why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. My dad sometimes could just blow up and not communicate well, and I've seen some of those habits. So just taking a step back, and of course talking with my therapist, allowed me to say like, oh, these are things you've seen, so it makes sense that you do this, but you're not them and you don't have to be. So how are you going to adjust so you can communicate and operate in a healthy way in your relationships with friends and romantic partners?
Definitely. I feel like half of adulting is understanding the good parts of your upbringing that you wish to take with you, and unlearning the parts that you think don't serve you going forward. And self-identification is so crucial to the next step.
Yeah, a lot of my family members, they just don't know when to say when. And maybe I've taken it to another element, because I'm always ready to end it. Like, this too much. This is not what I signed up for. I'm ending you. I'm ending this relationship. It's over. And I be feeling bad. Like, damn, like, Ambry, are you incapable of repairing trust and just having long-standing relationships? But I've just seen people hold on to things for too long, and I'm fearful of it. So I'm like, I just want to abandon shit. Like, whatever you're providing, I could probably get somebody else to do it. So I'm just going to have to.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that to some degree. I don't know that I always do a great job of it, but I can say, like, in my romantic situations, after overextending myself in a couple serious relationships, I'm much quicker to be like, okay, sir, this is not the behavior I asked for. Next.
Yeah, and I just feel that way about my friends too. Like, why don't you get this? Like, this is supposed to be simple. But that is definitely a talk for another day that we're going to get into.
So is one of the things you would say you look forward to changing, creating boundaries more effectively?
Not even, because I already do that. So like I said, like, I just want a foster environment that supportive like they did, but definitely more open-minded, because my family is very traditional in a lot of ways, and I don't always think that what's been done before is what's best or what has to continue. Very much a Christian, but if my kids choose another path, I want them to feel okay communicating about their spiritual path with me, even if it's not my own. I don't want them to feel shut out or judged because they took a different path than what I did. And then also just knowing when to cut the bitch off. I'm taking that. Like, I'm definitely changing that, because I can't think of anybody who does that well in my family.
I think the one thing that I really have to change that my family does is, it's not an expectation of perfection, but it's just high standards, like an excruciatingly and extremely high standards. Like, my parents very much believe in, like, don't let the outside world see you sweat. Only let your intimate people know that you're going through something, which I respect and value and is something I really live with. But I think it also has manifested in a lot of weird ways. And, like, if I don't think that I look the most ideal in the picture, I'm not going to post it. So people don't get to see me in, like, a very real and regular state. So I think it kind of manifested as a slight perfectionism that can sometimes be debilitating and harmful. And while I don't think that that's 100% my parents' fault, I think some of it is rooted in the expectation that, like...
It definitely is. And my mom is definitely like that. Like, she's like, why are you sharing that? Why'd you go on live without your makeup? I'm like, what, girl? Like, you're wild.
So, like, that bun, what are you doing? I'm like, ooh.
But, you know, I appreciate it because, you know, I don't want nobody out here catching me slipping. So, thanks for looking out. But I was keeping it authentic and natural today.
Yes. So, it creates a, like... transparency issue. I will say this podcast is probably the most transparent and been people will ever see me who are not my close friends. And I don't know if that's always a great thing.
It doesn't have to be a negative thing. You choose who has access to you. I am pretty much consistent. So if you have had a good conversation with me, then you probably learned some things about me. But I go on the motto of nobody can shame me if I'm not shamed. So anything I tell you, I would most likely tell somebody else, unless it's my deepest, darkest secret. Because unfortunately, a lot of people, whether on purpose or not, they share your business with somebody else after they have it. So that's just how I operate. Like, I realize that if I tell one person, somebody else is probably gonna know it. So if I really don't want anyone else to know, I just tell my mom or I just tell my therapist and leave it at that.
Definitely a good idea. I guess for me, it's more so I've been exploring this idea because I realized people can't root for you unless they know what you've been through, right? If you always keep it perfect, they're gonna just assume that there's, like, stagnation or, like, a very slight incline. If you share the struggle and the things that you really are going through, one, you might reach somebody and teach somebody, and two, like, they can root for you. They can see the progression. And so I'm really trying to figure out how to engage in that without violating my own privacy.
I think there is a lot of power in vulnerability, and I think that's what you were saying. Like, people can't connect with someone that they don't know. People can't connect with your perfectly curated Instagram feed, or when you're not giving them anything that they feel is real. And, you know, what is really real with social media anyway? So that's just one of those things.
Right. Because the girl who posted no makeup and a filter for sure has a filter, and she used Facetune. But I hear y'all. Go off.
Girl, you're wild.
Just honest, you know, just honest. Well, I feel like we've touched on family and how it manifests in our relationships and what we're looking to bring into the future. Any last thoughts?
I don't have any last thoughts, but if you guys have been enjoying listening to us, please do not forget to share with someone. And definitely write us a review. We would love to hear your feedback.
We would really appreciate it because feedback is the only way you know how to improve, guys. And we're all about self-improvement here.
Yes, we are definitely all about the self-improvement. But on that note, we'll see you next time. I am Amber Shantae.
And I'm Bria Simone.